Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Well, it is good to see everyone again this afternoon. For a short while, we're going to be talking about us as individuals, and kind of more importantly, us as, I guess, a force in a way. Our text is going to be coming from 2 Timothy. We'll read verses 3 and 4 of chapter 2. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here the Bible reads, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Our service to Jesus Christ is often compared to different occupations in some ways. One example can be that of an athlete. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 27, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Also moving along in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, here the Bible reads, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Another example that we have in Scripture is that of laborers in the harvest. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, here it says, "Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." In our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 that we just read, our service is to be compared or like to that of a soldier. The Bible says one is to be a good soldier. Good soldier seeking to please the one who is enlisted us as a soldier. Now here in a few days, I believe, is going to be Veterans Day, which is a day that has been set aside to think on those who have enlisted or those who were enlisted that were soldiers or those who fought for the freedoms that this country allots us. And this study that we're going to talk about this evening, this afternoon, we're going to be talking about maybe some of the similarities that we have as Christians, where we can clearly maybe better understand the service that we have enlisted in as Christians. First, we've got to consider the nature of our enlistment. According to the King James Version, the word used is chosen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Greek word means to gather or select as a warrior. Strong says that we choose to be a soldier. Now, one thing that we also need to take in consideration is that this is not an involuntary draft. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says we are enlisted. The idea is that we were chosen as we responded in the faith to the call of the gospel. This is a voluntary choice that we make. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, in the New King James, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." The army of Christ is an all-voluntary army. We were not drafted against our will, as we've experienced in the world in the past. And our attitude should reflect our willingness to do our part. also need to take in consideration not just the nature of our enlistment, but also the nature of our service. It is an active service. We are in full duty like those who are in active military that are right down the street at the base as of right now. We are enlisted. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 4, it talks about that being an indication that we are military service in today's army. Not the army of the world, mind you, but Christ's army. So when you enlist in today's army, your focus is one thing, and that is to follow the instructions of your commanding officer. And in doing so, there is no time to be entangled in the affairs of everyday life. And one must be willing to endure hardship. When you enlist in today's army, it means time away from friends, family, the possibility of being sent into battle into a foreign country, and possibly even to face death. As a soldier of Christ, our focus is our commander, the Lord Himself. We also are limited to time that we may have to be involved in the affairs of everyday life. We are not to concern ourselves with some of the things of this world because our attention and our time may be put elsewhere, or should be put elsewhere. And we must also endure hardships. This affects our relations with our physical families and friends in some cases. After obeying the gospel, our enlisting as a soldier of Christ, there were things we used to do with our friends, with our family, that we may no longer be able to do. And places we used to go that we should no longer go to. Some of the hardships we're overcoming are simply maybe bad habits that we have. It doesn't mean that we no longer associate with family or friends. It doesn't mean that we no longer have to concern ourselves with speaking to individuals in the world. That is not the case. It just means that there are things that we used to do that we may no longer find ourselves doing. And Christ must come first, even as He put His Father in heaven first. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, it says, He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Also in Matthew chapter 12, verses 47 through 50, it says, the one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now this idea or this concept also affects our attitudes toward our secular jobs, basically what we do in our daily lives. Even as possibly a young convert, our education and our schooling. Our purpose for working may change. We no longer work for power or fortune or status or fame or possessions of this life. But in Acts chapter 20, verses 34 and 35, it gives an idea or it leads upon the true purpose of work. It says, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Also in Ephesians chapter 4 and 28, it says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And in Matthew chapter 6 and 24 it says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. And of course, this is in regards to us not being able to serve both God and mammon. So some who enlist as a soldier of Christ believe that they are in the reserves, if you will, There are many of us that would like to think that that is the case, that we are not on duty or on call, possibly. But what we need to consider is that this army, there is no reserve. Where one might not take their responsibility seriously, we must. All the soldiers in the army of Christ are on active duty. Though some might be on the front line, others might be supporting them at the base, we are all on active duty. Also, another thing to take into consideration is the nature of our warfare in which we are engaged. Who is our enemy? Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, 10, verse 13, that our enemy are spiritual forces of wickedness. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Also, our enemies are physical lusts, which wage war against our soul. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Also, our enemy is the unrighteous and ungodliness of men, of those who do not recognize God, and of those who are given over to vile passions. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, here the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the nature used of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Now, as a soldier of Christ, our objectives are first of all is to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, it says, Paul says, "If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Also, our objective as a soldier of Christ is to bring every thought into submission to Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the Bible tells us that casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the third is that we are to help those ensnared of the devil to escape. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, it says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, as a soldier in Christ's army, the opposition is mighty, but the objective is noble. And to accomplish this, there are weapons that we have been given. What weapons do we wage with such warfare? So, of course, we need to take in consideration the nature of our weapons. They are not carnal. We do not fight with knives, guns, or clubs. The Bible tells us our warfare is not carnal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus tells us, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Thus we do not use the sword or other such weapons to fight in this war that we have enlisted in the army to do so. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 52, it says, Jesus said to Peter, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Brian gave us a terrific lesson this morning about Peter and actually spoke in regards to this incident. We are not to use these formal weapons in the fight that we are to be participants in. Nor are we to use works of the flesh, such as anger, wrath, or selfish ambitions. Our weapons are mighty in God. As a soldier of Christ, our attitudes should be consistent with the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, as was the Apostle Paul's. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said, speaking to the Corinthians, I myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is in presence and lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. We are also to have the attitude of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, as it said. And we need to think, is the attitude needed when we seek to help those overtaken in a fault? And our weapons are the armor of God, including truth, faith, and hope. That's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 17. And the Word of God is a powerful sword of the Spirit, as mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 and 17 and Hebrews 4, 12. And faith is a powerful shield against the devil, as mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 and 16. Also, likewise, hope serves as a helmet, found in Ephesians chapter 6 and 17. In conclusion, this afternoon, the armies of this world, soldiers seek to destroy their enemy. But in the army of Christ, we as soldiers of Christ seek to save ourselves, but also those whom we may fight with. It is a noble objective, and that requires a noble service as a soldier of Christ. The question is that we may look inwardly and look at ourselves. Are we willing to endure the hardship to please the one who enlisted us? At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who wish to step out on the promises of God, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.